Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Living Better in San Diego, a public service presentation of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. I'm Gary Lee. The Cystic Fibrosis Foundation is the world's leader in the search for a cure for cystic fibrosis. They are dedicated to improving the daily lives of people with cystic fibrosis and driving research to make a difference in their lives. Joining us this morning is Cystic Fibrosis Foundation San Diego Chapter Senior Development Director, Stacia Ybarra, and Ambassador Brittany Sandrew. Welcome, Stacia. Welcome, Brittany.
Good morning, Gary. Thank you for having us. Good morning.
Let's start with a little background information on the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation.
Yeah, so we are the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. We were established in 1955 with a mission to find a cure for cystic fibrosis, ultimately, and to help people with cystic fibrosis live longer and more productive and fuller lives.
Yep. So you're part of a national organization then?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we have chapters all across our nation. We're headquartered in Bethesda, Maryland. But we have a chapter right here in San Diego. We have actually five chapters in California.
Now, you're considered a donor-supported nonprofit, right?
That's correct.
What exactly does that mean?
Yes. So essentially, we do not get any government funding. We rely on people who, you know, want to give to us, want to further our mission. We do a lot of special events. We actually coined something called venture philanthropy, and where we actually raise the money for, and we take it to the researchers and we ask them, here's, you know, we're funding you, but you have to work on our Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, you know, cystic fibrosis drugs. So it's an orphan disease. So that means there's only 30,000 people in the United States, about 70,000 people worldwide that have cystic fibrosis. So it's not really profitable for, you know, pharmaceutical companies to work on a drug that's only helping, you know, this small group. So
right.
We figured, how do we make that different? So we raise our own money. We have, our volunteers raise money and collect donations, and we essentially get that money and we take it to these companies and researchers and drug companies, and we say, you know, here's this, now help us.
So there's no government funding or anything like that?
Yeah, zero government funding.
So all the research that's being done is being done because of what you guys are raising,
exactly.
The money that you're raising.
Yep. Yeah. We have funded pretty much every drug on the market today was funded that's helping our cystic fibrosis patients is funded by the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation.
Wow. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the foundation supports a National Care Center Network. What's that?
So we have care centers across the country. In San Diego, we have three care centers. We have a military care center that's a clinic for cystic fibrosis. We have one at Rady Children's Hospital for our children, and we have an adult clinic at UCSD Medical Center. So essentially, we're funding those clinics. So we're funding pulmonologists and a whole team there that is working with our patients and specializing in cystic fibrosis. So we have those type of care centers all across the nation.
How long have you been with the organization, Stacia?
I've worked for the foundation for 7 years, but I was a volunteer for about 4 years before that because I do have a personal connection to CF. I have a 17-year-old cousin who has cystic fibrosis.
I see. Have you always worked in the nonprofit sector?
You know, I've had both jobs. Not always, no.
No?
I actually had... I was a dog groomer for 12 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then, but I also worked for the YMCA, and then I worked for a for-profit company as well. So,
So your personal connection, is that what drew you to this organization?
It is, yes. So I was a volunteer for 4 years, like I said, before I was hired on. And when my cousin was diagnosed, our family decided to, you know, rally the troops, and we have to help. You know, this is us. This is what, you know, we're going to do now. So my uncle used to race motorcycles professionally, so he grabbed his motorcycle crew, and they did this big event called the Breathe Easy Ride. So that happened in 2007, 2008, and 2009. So our family just rallied around that event, and we raised about $300,000 through that for the CF Foundation. Yeah. Wow.
And then you became
And then they, you know, they said, hey, we want you on full time.
So, we like what you're doing.
Yeah, we like it. Yeah, so I couldn't say no. Yeah, I'm so lucky. I get to go to work every day for something I'm so passionate about. So really lucky.
So let's talk about cystic fibrosis.
Yeah.
What is it?
So
I know you're not a doctor.
I'm not a doctor. Yeah, and I'll tell you kind of from the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation standpoint, but Brittany here, she can tell you kind of what it is day in and out. But essentially, it's a genetic disease. It affects mainly all internal organs, mainly the lungs and the pancreas. Essentially, your body produces really thick, sticky mucus. So like the mucus that's in everybody's, your internal organs, essentially it's like gum. It's really, it's just real sticky, and it's collecting bacteria and infection, infectious viruses, bacteria, things like that.
I like to explain to people where I say, imagine the organs inside the body are like a spider web, where anything that touches it is going to stick. We are very anti-smoke, right? We can't have them around anyone that's a smoker, secondhand smoke. Any bacteria, any virus, any germs, anything that you breathe in, it's going to stick in there, and it can cause infections, and it can cause inflammation and ultimately lung scarring.
So is it life-threatening?
Yes. Yes. There is no cure at this point, and I think the life expectancy today is 47 years old.
But it changes all the time, doesn't it?
It does change. We were talking about this earlier. About 6 years ago, it was 31 years old. The median life expectancy was 31 years old. So we've come a long way in just a few years. Someone born today with cystic fibrosis is expected to live 44 to 47 years old.
And it is hereditary.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a recessive gene, and that's why it's such a small population to have it. Essentially, it's kind of like blue eyes, if you guys remember those pundit squares, I think they're called, and where you have a big B and a little B, so those little Bs. So essentially, you have two carriers, and they come together, and they both have this recessive gene, so they have a 1 in 4 chance of having a child with CF. So while it is such a small population, about 1 in 32 people are actually carriers of this gene. So that's a lot more people than have it, but it's just that recessive trait to where it doesn't come out as often because you have to have two of these recessive genes to have CF.
I am a cystic fibrosis gene carrier. I have one healthy gene and one mutated gene. My husband is the same way. He has one healthy gene and one mutated gene. We do not have the disease, but we conceived our children, and they each got our mutated genes, and then they ultimately ended up with cystic fibrosis.
Now again, you're not doctors either.
Not doctors.
Either
of us. Yeah, neither of us are doctors, that's for sure.
Is it known, do you know, or is it known how somebody gets cystic fibrosis? Now you've mentioned the genes.
Right.
And that's all
it.
There is to it?
That's
really
the only way. You cannot get cystic fibrosis unless you were born with it. It is not contagious. It is not something that you can go out and get.
It's not in the air.
No, it's not in the air. It's not contagious. I can't breathe it onto you.
It's essentially like your blue eyes or brown eyes.
You're born with it.
It's a gene that, you're born with, and it's one way or, the other. Mm-hmm. So.
Interesting, because I'm glad you're on the show, because this is something I think a lot of people are not aware of.
It totally. Yes.
I was not aware of it.
Yeah.
And I did not know that's the only way you can get cystic fibrosis.
Yes. Yeah.
When I first heard of it, when I was pregnant with my first, the doctor called and said, your blood work came back, and it turns out that you're a carrier for cystic fibrosis. And I thought, oh, okay. And, then I started my research, and I had no idea. I've never heard of it before that. No one in my family has had it. No one in my husband's family has had it. So it just takes two magical people to come together, and even then there's only a 25% chance, if two people are carriers, that they will produce a cystic fibrosis
child. So
how
is it diagnosed then? Is it just a blood test?
Right. So now I believe all 50 states per take in the newborn screening. So it's a heel prick in newborn babies, and they run a blood panel, and that tests for cystic fibrosis genes. There are almost 2,000 mutations that cause cystic fibrosis. So there's a lot, and I don't know how many the tests for, but there is a blood test that all babies get when they're born in the hospital.
So you're not looking for any symptoms or anything because they're doing that test early on, or do you still kind of get some symptoms?
I think everyone's story is different. I know some CF babies that are born without any symptoms. My two babies were showing signs of cystic fibrosis before they were born.
And what were those signs?
They had what's called echogenic bowel on their ultrasounds. So their intestines were bright on the ultrasound, meaning that they were hardened. There was thick, sticky mucus inside their intestines. And they were ultimately both born with blockages in their intestines.
So how has it changed for those with cystic fibrosis over the years?
Yeah, in 1955, kids were born, the doctors would tell their parents, you know, take your child home and love them, but they probably won't even make it to elementary school because they really just didn't know what to do. They didn't know there was not these right. amazing doctors and researchers working on anything. They just said, we don't really know much. We know just love them. There's nothing we can do about it. And then, you know, fast forward 60 plus years till today, and we have a modulator for the defective gene. And so something that's actually fixing the defective gene for certain mutations, right. as Brittany had mentioned, there's over 2,000 of these, you know, certain right. mutations. So we have a few drugs on the market today. They're actually fixing the
it treats gene. The underlying cause of cystic fibrosis, and it doesn't just treat the symptoms. So these drugs that are out there are targeting CF at the cellular level. They're, like Stacia said, they're fixing the gene. So it's truly a miracle.
Yeah. And I was going to say, Gary, on top of, you know, that amazing, crazy thing that we're fixing this gene, we have a lot of, you know, anti-infectives, anti-infungals. We have a lot of treatments. We have a thing called the vest treatment. And mm-hmm. so each day, Brittany's kids put on a vest that sort of looks like a life jacket vest,
yes.
you know,
yes.
but it pulsates. It's hooked up to
a machine
that pushes air, and it pulsates the air. And so that vest essentially is like banging on their chest and banging on their back. And so they put it on, they click mm-hmm. it in, and they do that for a half an hour in the morning, half an hour for night. And it basically, it's shaking up and breaking up all the mucus. And then they do these huff coughs, and they
yep.
cough the phlegm out, you know, so that's not just setting in their lungs. It's not a glamorous disease. That's what
no.
we joke about as well. You know, it's not,
it
you know.
Shakes these, it shakes them so fast that it's almost, I think it looks sometimes to be therapeutic, almost, where you're looking at, you know, my daughter has fallen asleep multiple times during her vest treatment. It's just like a very quick massage, but it's day in and day out. It's twice a day for 20 plus minutes when they're healthy. And if they get sick, it's four times a day that these young children are hooked up to a machine for a very long time for young children.
And then they I know some people will also do an inhaled medication while
yep.
they're doing that vest treatment. They'll have a nebulizer, it's called,
yep.
where they breathe in like a hypersonic saline solution
mm-hmm.
or.
My kids, both of them take just inhaled albuterol, and they do that before their vests. But my daughter Allison's 3.5. She does have a nebulizer because she's got a bacteria in her lungs. So it's an inhaled antibiotic that she takes after her vest. So that's just another, you know, added time for treatment daily. And the thing, you know, so this has changed over the years for these kids. These therapies and medications were not available.
Right.
No, they weren't.
And while I would say it sounds taxing and like so much to do,
right.
and you don't get a day off, like it's your birthday, you don't get
right.
to not do your vest treatment. Sorry, it's Christmas. You're doing it. You
mm-hmm.
know, we want to keep you healthy.
Yeah.
But, you know, so on one hand, it's a lot to take on. But on the other hand, they have these tools now to use
exactly.
to keep them healthy and to stay alive longer and longer and longer.
So aside from that,
yeah.
how else does this affect their life?
I mean, we try not to let cystic fibrosis be the forefront of what they do as kids. My husband and I are trying to raise them as normally as possible. They go outside, they play, they run around, they have friends, we do all sorts of things.
So there's no restrictions as to what they can do?
No, not at this point. The only restriction, I guess, is that they can't be around other kids who have cystic fibrosis. That's really sort of our main downfall. And the reason for that is two people with cystic fibrosis can contaminate each other just by breathing. There are different bugs. They can pass them to each other by being in the same room within 6 feet of each other. So those are really the only restrictions. I mean, my kids, it's you wake up in the morning, you do your vest treatments, and then we go on to breakfast, and then we have our normal day, and then we do a middle of the day treatment, and then we have lunch, and then we do our evening treatments, and then we do our baths and dinner. It's a very scheduled routine. Everything sort of has to be timed and planned, but it's just a part of our day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would say that, you know, as the kids get older and, you know, you want to go on trips, like that's going to get hard to do because you had to lug all this equipment with you. And if we're going to Disneyland, when are we doing vest treatment?
Right.
When are we doing this? Or, you know, it's like you have to really think about that all the way
through. It's very hard to be spontaneous and to have cystic fibrosis.
Yeah.
It's you got to think about when are we going to do treatments? When is the time for this? When is the time for that?
But then, too, like you said, you can't be around people smoking.
Right.
So that could limit where you go.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily in California, we don't have that issue that
much. I've been out with my cousin and had to ask someone politely, you know, do you mind not smoking in this no-smoking section?
Yeah. Right. Oh, I've done it.
Look at you like you're nuts. I have a reason. I'm not just being, you know.
If it's a no-smoking section, But, you know, if you're outside and somebody's smoking, that's got to
I'm a mom. So I'm a mama bear. If I got to take my kids somewhere, I don't have a problem saying, hey, you know, do you mind moving over 20 feet so I can get my kids? I mean, there was a woman smoking right in front of a door to a restaurant that we were walking into, right in front of the door. And I says, hey, I got to bring my kids in here. You know, they have lung diseases. Do you mind just scooching over here for a minute? And normally people are very polite.
So now you are an ambassador.
Yes.
What exactly does that entail?
So pretty much this, spreading awareness, going with the foundation throughout the community and sharing our story and talking to corporate teams and different people who sponsor us for the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation and just sort of putting a face, you know, being the voice, I say, for my kids, sharing their story. They're too little to do this. But I am their mom, and I'm happily out there talking about cystic fibrosis as much as I can.
And it was the diagnosis of them having cystic fibrosis that brought you to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, right, in which you started helping them.
Yes. So my daughter was born in 2015, and we heard about it when I was pregnant with her, and then she was born and officially diagnosed with the disease. The doctors told us about the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation and sort of gave us the website, the contact information. I didn't really do much with it in the beginning. I was in a state of shock. I was very sad. I didn't know what to expect for my brand new little baby. And then about 6 months went by and I thought, okay, I need to do something. I need to call people and get in touch with people who know more than I do and who are able to talk to me and help me and figure out what I can do. And so I got on the phone with Stacia.
Mm-hmm. And I remember your email.
Yeah. I got on the phone with Stacia and she told me about, you know, some fundraisers that they were doing and what the foundation had been up to in the last few years. And the doctors have sort of, they were telling us about it too. So I started a team and we signed up for our first fundraiser and
our great strides is like our walk. And so that was, it's the kind of the way in, you know, like come and see everyone who's helping out.
Started a team and, we've been running ever since.
So you said you have two children.
Yes.
How old is your other one?
Levi he's going to be two this month on the 30th.
And when was he diagnosed? Was he diagnosed right at birth?
He was diagnosed at birth, yes. He was showing symptoms also in utero. His bowels were very swollen. And so he was born, a little not so pleasant topic, but he was born and he had to have an enema, just intervened right away. And That was on day one. And then the next day, he was getting another one, and his bowels actually burst during that procedure. So he was rushed into emergency surgery at just 24 hours old. Hmm. And he had that bought him a 9-week NICU stay with an ostomy bag, and it was exhausting and very difficult 9 weeks. But he eventually, at around 8 weeks old, was sewn back together. The doctors took him back into the OR, put everything, all of his intestines, back where they needed to be, and we brought him home after 66 days.
And both kids are doing well now?
They're both doing great. Yeah, they're doing very well. Allison is going to be 4 this year.
Going on
24.
Yeah. That's what I know. I skip the teens when I talk about her too. She's just 24.
I've said it since the day she was born. She's wise beyond her years. She's just got this. She's got a true fight in her, and she's very sassy, and she keeps me on my toes. But I have always said, if she's going to have something as horrible as cystic fibrosis, I want her to have this fight in her, and she truly does. And Levi is not far behind. He's a lion. We call him Levi the Lion. Huh. He's a tough little guy. They both are so inspiring to me, in such little bodies and such young children, that they just take the treatments and they do them, and they don't complain too much. Allison now is like, would rather play, of course, than do her vest treatments, but it's not much of a struggle. And they do them, and we distract them, and they are just truly, truly so inspirational.
So we, you know, at the CF Foundation, we kind of talk about people who have CF as CF heroes or CF fighters. Mm-hmm. So, and I really think that that encompasses who these people are. Mm-hmm. You know, I have not met anyone that has CF that I couldn't say they're like a hero or a fighter, you know. So they're amazing, and I think that that comes with the gene, right?
It must. You have to. Yeah. Yep. We called it the day Allison was born. We're like, oh, okay, she was born 6 weeks early, tiny little preemie, and she pulled out all of her tubes and wires. And the nurse, who's been a NICU nurse for over 20 years, says, I have never had a preemie that has pulled out all of their stuff on the day they were born. I says, well, that's our girl.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got just a couple of minutes left, so sure. I do want to talk real quickly about your event that's coming up, the Great Strides event. Now, you have two coming up soon, one this month, don't you?
Yes, so we have one at Moonlight Beach up in Encinitas. It's called Great Strides Moonlight Beach, and that happens on Sunday, May 19th. And then we also have another walk on June 1st, mm-hmm. that is at Liberty Station in DC Park, and they're both great. It's a free event. You know, we encourage fundraising, but if you just want to come out and see what it's like and to meet us, come on out. And the walks start about 9 o'clock, and, you know, it's a 3-mile walk, so nothing major. Nothing, we don't make you walk if you just want to hang out on the beach with us or at the park.
I have to share my Great Stride story. It was, you know, like I said, I didn't want to really become too involved. And then I talked to Station. I was like, okay, I got to do this. So we started a team, and we had no idea what to expect at our first Great Strides event. And we walked up to the event at the beach, and I was just completely the breath was totally taken out of me. It was so amazing to see all of these people in one place that had the same goal that I did, was ultimately to cure cystic fibrosis, and to just see it and to hear other people talking about it, to feel the passion in the area. It's really amazing. I mean, even if you have no direct connection to cystic fibrosis, to be around people that have this much passion to cure this disease, you're going to leave with a smile on your face.
And how can people register for it?
So if you Google Great Strides San Diego, Great Strides Moonlight Beach, or just Great Strides, and you search for, you know, your zip code, the ones in San Diego will pop up. So Great Strides is the keyword there. Do a quick Google search and put in your address.
How can people, you are a donor-supported organization, nonprofit again, how can people help you with your mission?
So come and learn about us. Help be an advocate. Mm-hmm. Help spread the word. What is CF? You know, right. So many people don't even know what cystic fibrosis is. Yep. We abbreviate to CF all the time, which we probably could do better. But, you know, we need volunteers. We need volunteers for our events. We need donations. You know, when it's time to give back to organization that you can feel good about giving your money to. You know, we're efficient, we're effective. Mm-hmm. You know, we're high rated on the BBB Charity Navigator. You know, we have great ratings on all of that. Mm-hmm. So feel good. If you need a feel good organization, nonprofit to give to, we're that guy.
Can donations be made at your website?
Yes. So cff.org. You can go there and there's definitely a donate button. You can search for the San Diego chapter if you'd like to give to the local chapter, CFF San Diego.
Team CF Fighters.
Oh, yeah, that's Brittany's Great Strides
team. That's
our
kids team. Search for her.
Oh, great. Stacia and Brittany, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you, Gary.
Brittany, thank you for sharing your story.
Yes, thank
you. And thanks to the both of you for all you do at the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
That concludes another edition of Living Better in San Diego. The opinions expressed on Living Better in San Diego do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. Episodes of Living Better in San Diego are available on this station's website. Join me next week when my guest will be from the San Diego Diplomacy Council. Until then, I'm Gary Lee. Have a great week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.